your sons and daughters. I am John Miller, and this is Locked On Mizzou, your spot for daily Mizzou football and basketball talk 5 days a week. And yes, I have that unfortunate job today to discuss the Vanderbilt game. But fortunately, my good buddy, Mr. Blake Stark, is here to hopefully take a little bit of the pain with me. I got to be honest, Blake, we're going to talk about Jordan Elliott going forward. You know, I thought he played a tremendous game. Don't want to spoil that segment. But then we're going to look at Mizzou's rest of the season outlook. But you know what? Right now, I'm a little bit numb. I got to be honest with you. I'm shocked by what happened. Obviously, if you listen to this show, I told you to give the 21 with Mizzou. Obviously, I was confident going into Nashville. How wrong can you be, right? So I'm flabbergasted.
I was texting you earlier today, like, hey, let's lay a big first half bet. Like, Mizzou minus 11 first half seems like easy money. Like, how are we not going to run away with this out of the gate? Totally wrong. I was texting my buddy last night that lives in Reno. Like, hey, dude, lay the 11 with Mizzou in the first half. We've got this. Such a bad take. So wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it feels so much like the Wyoming game in so many ways, because not only were we favored to win by more than two touchdowns, it's just a shovel right to the face. Who could have possibly seen any of this coming? And I got to be honest, you know, there's your occasional annoying Mizzou fan that you'll find on, you know, a message board or whatever. And I ran into one of them this week who was saying that this was, oh, it's a trap game. It's a classic trap game. And I just thought that was a little bit ridiculous, because we already had our trap. We ran into a bear trap up in Laramie, Wyoming, and we got our ankle caught in it and snapped. And yet somehow we've survived this season. I just thought, we're past this. We're past it. How naive am I as a Missouri fan, I guess, is the question.
Well, I think the situation in Wyoming is totally different. So Wyoming is hosting an SEC team for the first time, and I don't know if they'd ever done it before. They have a nationally televised game, home opener. Like, they're all riled up. They got a packed stadium up there in Laramie. Well, in Vanderbilt, no one gives a shit in Nashville. Like, the stadium is basically empty. I had friends that were sending me pictures. They're, I mean, it's a 50-50 Mizzou Vandy crowd with
23,000 people,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it's a half-empty stadium. So there's no buzzsaw that we're running into. We're running into the total opposite, like an apathetic environment, and we just don't show up.
Yeah, it was really bizarre and just totally disappointing in so many ways. You know, honestly, again, the difference between this game and Wyoming, I guess one of the big differences is obviously Mizzou got off to a phenomenal start up in Laramie. They were up 14-0. I think everybody here was going, boy, we're going to cruise. This team looks great. Hey, how about us? That kind of deal. This team could never get it going. But the similarity was, and the thing that really bothered me as the game kept going on and on and on, was how many times we would just stubbornly run the ball on 1st and 10. And then on 2nd and 9, when it usually wouldn't work, it was, again, sort of what we did in Laramie, where we just thought, oh, we're the big, strong Missouri Tigers. We can push our way to victory. And it was just stubbornly, we never got away from it. And to be honest, too, not to get too far afield, I didn't think Larry Roundtree ran all that well either. But what was your just take on the play calling in general? Did you feel like I did a little bit too conservative? Why not throw the ball a little bit more, to me?
I agree. It felt like it was overly conservative, like we were playing not to lose or something from the beginning. I don't understand why we couldn't exert ourselves a little bit on that defense. I mean, that defense is a very, very bad. We aren't going to play a worse defense all year than this defense. I think Ole Miss ran for like 400 yards on them 3 weeks ago. We should have been able to run the ball. So there's a couple things to get into. Like, why couldn't we run the ball? Figure out why we couldn't run the ball. But if we're not running the ball, you have to attack. But then I think, you know, they showed some of the routes where they're dropping, you know, they're pressuring us with three guys and they're dropping eight guys in coverage and there's nobody open. So I don't know. They didn't scheme against that. It's like they didn't show up.
You know, there were times when I saw for sure, I was going, okay, Vanderbilt is just looking at the box, simply counting the guys in the box. You could tell there were times as an offensive coordinator, I'd be going, okay, they're daring me to run the ball. Fine and dandy. I'll run the ball. I'm fine with that at first, but at a certain point when it's not working, I don't know, adjust, do something different. But I guess you got to give Vanderbilt credit. I'm just totally astonished that a team that lost, I guess this is college football, right, unless you're the upper crust, but I'm just astonished that a team that could lose to UNLV by 24, 28, whatever that final score was, could beat Missouri, a team that just objectively is one of the 15, 20 best teams in the country statistically. So I'm really flabbergasted, Blake. I just don't know what to think about this team anymore.
I mean, there's such a direct, immediate comparison with the Ole Miss game, because we played Ole Miss last week, and Ole Miss had some success running against us, but we did okay. Ole Miss held Vanderbilt to, what, 6 points? And Ole Miss ran rampant all over Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt.
Sure.
And Ole Miss is a much better team than Vanderbilt is. So it's just bizarre to me that we can handle Ole Miss and go to Vanderbilt and just be unable to do anything. I know we're just kind of searching for answers at this point.
No, it really doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense, unfortunately, especially when, again, looking at the box score here, one thing I pointed out is obviously Keyshawn Vaughn, their really good running back, gashed us last year, quite honestly, for about 182 yards or something like that. Well, we frankly held him in check. Yeah. We held him in check. He had a ton of touches, at least on the ground. 29 carries for 96 yards. I mean, 3-3 a carry. Perfect. We'll take that all day. If you had told me that before the game, I'd have said, yeah, Missouri will probably cover the spread then if they do that. And yet somehow we lost the game outright.
The one big error, obviously, is the screen pass that we let slip.
Right. I was going to say he did have one touch in the passing game, 61-yard touchdown. Obviously, give him credit there. But, again, I can live with that. If you're one, again, great player, he'll probably play in the league, it looks like. So if he gets
certainly
one
looks
touch
like he's going to play in the league. That guy is a brick shit house. Like, he's stacked.
Absolutely. But, yeah, you know, so, yeah, again, you can live with one play, one big play, one explosive play from an explosive player. I can live with that. And yet somehow it just wasn't enough. I don't know quite what to say, but obviously there was a little bit of a kerfuffle involving Mr. Jordan Elliott.
Is that the second time we've had kerfuffle?
It's become my favorite word on this show. It really has, but I'm going to keep grinding it into your heads.
I love it just as much as the first time.
So a bit of a snafu involving Jordan Elliott that we will discuss right after this. Oh, Jordan Elliott, yes. It was an up-and-down game for you, wasn't it, pal? And honestly, first quarter, first half, Blake and I were looking at each other and going, this guy is balling out. Like, remember when he chased, speaking of screen passes, remember when he chased down that screen play? Elliott was playing really well and just, gosh, a boneheaded offsides play at the worst time.
He gave them the first down. Like, yep. It was two of them.
And, I can't blame the game on him. That was tough to watch, though. That was just sort of emblematic, I hate to say it, of sort of Barry Odom teams that, you know, jump off sides and like to false start at sort of the worst times, it seems. And, man, that Jonathan Johnson false start was funny, wasn't it, early in the game? But the main thing I want to say, I don't know about you, Blake, but let's not blame Jordan Elliott, right?
No, he was the best player on our team for the vast majority of the game. Even on that last drive, you can watch the plays. I mean, he had penetration. He was in the backfield on plays where that their running back avoided him and then found a gap and darted through. So I'd take my hat off to Jordan Elliott. I think he played his heart out today. And unfortunately, I think he was maybe a little too amped or whatever happened there. Those were two very bad jumps. But, I mean, Jordan Elliott gets the game ball for me despite that. So I don't want to hear anything negative against Jordan Elliott.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, certainly it's fair to criticize that last moment there, but I'm with you. We who knows where we'd have been without him. I mean, he was clearly a tremendous factor again in the running game.
He's a wrecking ball,
but he was getting into the backfield rather quickly. And before his two snaps where he jumped off sides, I remember it was either a snap or two before that where he pretty much jumped the snap and got into the backfield quickly. So I understand where his mind was there. I understand he's trying to make a play, trying to back up Vanderbilt at that point. I mean, we're in desperate straits, too. We're in dire straits. So I get the desperation on his part a little bit too, is all I'm trying to say. And honestly, though, where I'm disappointed, especially, again, well, I'm going to go back and watch this game again closely, you know, for sure, as always. But just at first glance, I'm really disappointed in our receivers. You know, Jalen Knox in particular, where has he been? I thought he was going to show out bigger this year, and he just hasn't really done a whole lot this year. I will say Cam Scott, you know, you and I were saying, hey, get him a crossing route and see what happens. Well, turns out he can take it 55 yards if you give him a crossing route on occasion. But what's your overall feeling with our receivers? I mean, just nobody tends to emerge. What's your overall feeling with that?
See, I don't know if I can blame the receivers themselves or the opportunities that they were given. Or it's weird because there were a lot of plays that, so we, you know, watching what Mizzou calls passing plays, and Kelly Bryant in previous games has dropped back and has had pressure, and he has avoided the pressure and stayed in the pocket and kept the play alive and thrown the ball down the field. And today, it seemed like whenever he was in a situation where we had a passing play, he dropped back, encountered pressure, avoided the sack, and then he looked to run. And he started running. So I can't remember a play that he had today where he extended the play and found a receiver down the field. So I think that probably indicates that the receivers were not getting open, or they were not creating space. I mean, Cam Scott obviously had, you know, caught that crossing route. That kid he's an antelope. I mean, he's a gazelle. I love him. Like, I want him to have the ball.
Yeah, when he has the ball in his hands in the open field, it's exciting, no doubt about that.
So now I'm give it to Larry and give it to Cam, and that's, I think, how the offense works. Jonathan Nance had, I think he had a couple good, I remember him having a couple good plays.
Yeah, he averaged 11 a catch, but only 3 catches. I mean, again, the problem is a little bit, not a lot of opportunities. I mean, we only threw 26 passes. We being Missouri, by the way. Let's be a little professional here, Blake. But no, seriously, Kelly Bryant threw 26 passes, and we rushed the ball 40 times, including 16 by Kelly, by the way. That's a lot. I mean, some of those are sacks, I'm sure, obviously, but goodness, that's a lot of running.
You shouldn't have to run Kelly Bryant 16 times against Vanderbilt.
I agree, especially a guy who's coming off a scary knee injury, a knee sprain from, what, 2 weeks ago or something? Yeah. That's asking a lot. And frankly, Beatty was the most effective running back for sure, 10 for 47. So I don't know. Maybe we needed to see a little bit more of him. I certainly, again, would have liked to have seen more from the passing game in general.
Well, we talked about Albert O had 2 catches for 10 yards.
Yeah, 2 catches for 10 yards. One was a 6-yard touchdown.
That's crazy.
And a beautiful play for sure.
We had some success attacking the middle, I think, at times. And I think we get away from attacking the middle of the field.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of
the
Cam, middle.
Cam Scott was in the middle field. He caught the ball and
sure.
came around.
Right.
I think there's Jonathan Nance had a nice catch over the middle maybe. But I feel like we get away from that. And then we wind up going sideline to sideline. And we did a whole lot of screen passes that weren't very effective.
Right.
I just don't understand why we couldn't turn it loose a little bit against, again, the 121st scoring defense in the entire country.
Yeah, I agree with your take on the screen passes, that observation in particular, because not only were we running it on first and second down over and over again, but again, throwing so many screen passes to the running backs, which again, I'm not trying to be retroactive here, but just that description of what I just said, that sounds like the Herm Edwards Chiefs or the current Herm Edwards Arizona State Sun Devils, I'm sure, who probably just like to grind it out and try to punt, basically, and play good defense.
Like,
just get sick of that type of football.
Doesn't it make sense if you're not having success running the ball, right? So they're controlling the box, like around the line of scrimmage.
Right.
If you're having any success moving it inside of the box, and then you're going to do screen passes, which are passing plays that are still inside of this box. Like, I think to change it up, you have to attack outside of that box. So you've got, I mean, we have weapons, and this is kind of a season long complaint with me. I've been pretty happy with, you know, the 5 weeks previous to this, obviously, like there's been success, but I don't think we use Albert O correctly a lot of times. Like, he's got a lot of touchdowns, but we don't use him, you know, on, you know, skinny posts and get him down the field like the he could be used like a Travis Kelce.
Sure.
I mean, he should be used like a Travis Kelce, and especially in, like in the college game. I don't know that he necessarily has Travis Kelce's athleticism on the next level, but certainly on this level. Like,
right. I'm with you.
He should be a matchup problem.
Absolutely.
20, 30 yards downfield.
Right.
We don't ever do that.
Right.
We're always throwing the ball short to him, little like 5 yard outs. And,
right.
You know, goal line.
He's been really excellent on that goal line fade play, which is not one of my favorite plays in general, but he's been really effective on it this year. Certainly a couple times I remember, but
he's always going to be good at that.
Yeah.
But
showing really good feet and all that kind of deal.
Like let him show out a little bit, like split him out. Like let him go try to cover him with the safety, you know? Like
sure.
I like that matchup.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for sure for any safety
without a doubt. 20-yard out. Give him a, you know what I mean? Give him a deep post, give him something like the kid's he's a huge weapon. He's not just a red zone weapon.
Right.
You know, but we're kind of using him that way. I feel like he should have 20 more catches, and a lot of them should be downfield. I feel like they kind of forget about him in the course of the regular offense, and then he gets used. I mean, he shouldn't have like a 40% touchdown to catch ratio for his career. And that's silly.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, a lot of people point that out as a plus, but yeah, the other side of that, yeah, you can look at that as, oh, they don't get him the ball enough between the 20s. And that, I think I agree with you. I'm more to that side the more I think about it.
Yeah. He's invisible in this game. Like we don't have anything going. We can't run the ball. We have Albert O, and we, you know, I know he had the injury and he was out for like 5 seconds.
Sure.
But he came back and he was fine.
He seemed fine. That looked dramatic.
We didn't use him.
But...
We have no answers. The offense isn't working. And you don't go to him? You don't go to him to figure it out?
Just explain to me what the plan was in this game offensively.
I could never see it.
I think Derek Dooley's done a good job for the most part. Don't get me wrong. I just want somebody to explain to me what exactly Missouri was trying to do in this game, because it just felt like to me, again, oh, let's run it on first down, let's run it on second down, let's throw a screen pass. It was almost like they were, you know, Alabama State getting paid to go take an whipping from Alabama. And it's like, why are we playing so conservatively? I just didn't understand that.
This game felt like a Josh Henson 2015 game. Like, it's just inexplicable. Like, where's the – what's the approach? What's the – you know, I mean, what are we trying to attack? What are we trying to establish? I didn't see any coherent approach to the offense for the entire game.
Sure. No, I hear you. Well, you know what? We'll talk about the rest of the season outlook right after this. All right, Blake. So the rest of the season, 2019, I've already been, again, hit in the face with a shovel by two utterly shocking losses, two of the most shocking losses in Mizzou history. And yet every other game, Mizzou looks basically fabulous. So I got to be honest, how in the world could we possibly pretend to predict the rest of the season? But hey, here we are. We're going to do it.
And we have to, right? That's what we're here for.
That's what I'm getting paid the big bucks for. That's right. That's why they pay me. But so now we've got Kentucky next week, who I believe just got shut out by Georgia. I don't know if they ever got in the end zone or not. I don't think they completed a pass until like the third or fourth quarter or something.
I know that it was like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and they had not completed a pass. I don't know if they eventually did, but I know at that point they had not.
Right. So in other words, we're definitely going to win next week and nothing could possibly go wrong. Just kidding. Clearly, this Missouri team has proven that they can do absolutely anything. Somehow I didn't see this Vanderbilt game coming, though. Again, not to repeat myself, but... So, again, get this train back on the tracks. Moving forward, we've got at Kentucky, then a bye week, and the dreaded Barry Odom bye week, by the way, and then at Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, at Arkansas. What are you thinking, Blake? Are we going to win any of those games or what?
I mean, I don't think we're going to lose the last, is it four or five games, whatever, I can count whatever you say.
Yeah, there's five left.
Yeah, we're not gonna go 0-5. I'll put the money on that we're not gonna go 0-5. I mean, I think it would be hard to lose the Kentucky game. Watching them today not completing a pass for almost four quarters, it would be hard to do that. And especially after this loss, I think the team's gonna have a little burr up their pants, you know, and they're gonna be a little motivated, I hope. You know, I don't think they probably won't take this easily. They shouldn't.
Right.
Losing to it. I mean, They just lost to a 1-5 team. They just lost to a terrible team. That's the team's only win was what, against Northern Illinois, or I mean, they lost to a very bad team in an empty stadium on national television when they had everything to play for. So I hope that they take that like as harshly as they possibly can and use it as much motivation as it can generate, right? And then
that's the part that hurts the most is that there was everything to play.
Everything
for.
Was
the
there.
The East was did all see, out there. We got a break from South Carolina last week.
Did you see the graphic? They showed it during the game where it was like prior to last week, the percentages for us in Florida and Georgia to win the SEC East was like 45% or no, it was like 60% Georgia, like 30% Florida, 10% us. And then after the results of last week, going into today, it was 32-31.
Like, sure.
It was basically a dead heat going into today.
And now after today.
And we had that and then we just you know what I mean?
Unbelievable. It's got to be lower than what it was before cuz no statistical model is expecting you to lose to Vanderbilt. So that's a huge problem.
We don't control our own destiny at this point, do we?
Oh, there's no way. How could
or do we?
Especially I mean maybe on paper you do. I guess on paper, maybe. I guess if they Missouri won out, since they, I guess technically they have one loss in the SEC, so that's true. And so does.
Who did Florida lose to?
Well.
Oh, they lost LSU. So Florida will have to lose to Georgia, and then we will have to beat.
Well, I'm just saying if we went out, we would win the East then, right? So
not if Florida doesn't lose in the division, I don't think.
But they would have a loss to Missouri, and they'd be tied.
We have.
Tiebreaker.
But we have
one loss.
Oh, division loss?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You're right, I guess.
Yeah, Wyoming doesn't count, so.
I guess you're right.
Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess technically
so we still
you're
do
right.
Control my point our
is,
destiny.
Right. My point is, yes, technically, while we do control our own destiny, yeah, any statistical model didn't have Vanderbilt as your one loss there. So that makes it a lot tougher. You had a little bit of – the point is before we could have dropped one to Georgia – beaten Florida and still won the division, or vice versa. You could have very easily seen a scenario where you drop one of those games and still win the division. Is the point? But
yeah, that this costs us a lot, and out of nowhere. But I guess going back into the projection thing, I feel like what has happened in the last couple of weeks sort of was encouraging towards Missouri. Like Georgia does not look like the juggernaut that everyone thought that Georgia was. Going into the season,
I agree. Mean, I'm a little surprised, but they are
losing to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
didn't look particularly special today.
Tied 0-0.
That
half-time.
Offense is just not clicking on all cylinders.
No, it's
I mean, they're still incredibly talented, but
right. Yeah, they have all the talent, but they've always had all the talent.
Sure,
and that's not unusual, but you know they've always Georgia'd is the term.
Sure.
So they still don't look like a juggernaut. Florida today in that South Carolina game. I mean, they scored quite a few points offensively, which is sort of surprising, but they gave up a lot of points to a South Carolina team that I don't think is particularly explosive. So that was a little atypical of what you expect from a Florida team. And they don't run the ball as well as you would expect either.
Yeah, they're more of a passing team this year, which is the first time you can say that since at least 2015, maybe, when they had that one guy who was eventually suspended for steroids or something. It was that guy. I don't know if it was steroids, but some sort of banned substance. But anyway.
So there is hope to be gained from the performances of, you know, the teams that we're competing against, what we saw today, but after we saw what we did today, it's hard to get too excited. Like you said, it's a crapshoot. Like we're so Jekyll and Hyde. Like we could be the team that blasted South Carolina, which looks like a pretty good win.
Yeah,
or we could be the team that just doesn't show up at all, like
sure.
we did today.
Right. You know, honestly, Blake, the bottom line is I just want to love Barry Odom so much. And he gives me a lot of reasons to love him. And then there's just these inexplicable games and moments that we have, and I just don't quite know what to make of it, if it's ever going to get any better, or if this is just kind of the baseline for an Odom squad. Maybe we keep getting better overall, and we just suffer these wildly one or two inexplicable losses every year. I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like we talked about this on the after the Wyoming game.
Right.
is, you know, we both want Barry to do well. We both think Barry is building the program correctly, but you have these inexcusable, like just not show up games, or, you know, we have 12 penalties for, I mean, however many yards we have
over
today.
100 yards, you know, for sure. Yeah.
Just sloppy games at bad times. And this one though, doesn't fit into the pattern. Like the pattern has been, you know, you lose the bye week after the bye week, you lose the game.
Missouri with 12 penalties for 120 yards, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, this one doesn't really fit the pattern of bad Odom losses that we've had before, but now this is another bad Odom loss. And I mean, Like I said, the
12 turnovers kind of fit, but only one turnover. I mean, that's not the sloppiest thing I've ever seen. We didn't talk about it,
but that was a bad one.
You're right. It was just, Kelly definitely threw into double coverage there.
He was locked on Alberto.
That was a bad one by Kelly there. And again, as I've said, that's kind of one of his bugaboos is he does tend to, every once in a while, he's going to throw one up for grabs, especially in the red zone, but.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's this game to me. I don't want to blame individual players so much for this performance. Other than, you know, honestly, I think the offensive linemen, for whatever reason, they didn't perform well. So
yeah.
You know, I don't
just
want to attack these guys, but those guys got beat all day.
Right,
like they didn't open running lanes. They didn't protect the quarterback very well. Inexplicably against a team that has like no track record of pressuring quarterbacks or stopping the run. So I don't know how these guys, and a lot of these guys are fairly acclaimed, you know? I mean,
sure. Gotten a lot of press, like Durant. Like,
yeah,
and, you know,
yeah, those guys are,
Castillo,
those guys are,
all these
yeah,
dudes.
Those
yeah.
dudes have, oh, yeah. you know, preseason accolades and
solid PFF grades.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, these are good players and they got beat all day. So they had a bad game.
Definitely.
And maybe that's what caused the coaching issues, but this one I want to lay it on the coaches, just like I just with Wyoming. Like this to me, this is a team that was like not prepared to come out and take advantage of this. This was a softball game, and we dropped it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
and that's all
really,
there is to it.
It's tough, and especially because it's especially disappointing in light of the fact that it seemed like the fan base really came back, you know, for in a way that they haven't for a few years for homecoming. And it just felt like, oh man, we can, you know, get through this. And maybe for Tennessee and for Florida, we can sell out those games too. And now it's just, oh,
we're going to have to beat Georgia.
Yeah. Again, the casual show me Mizzou fan, unless we do beat Georgia, they're gonna be like, oh, same old Mizzou. Yeah, and that I hate that attitude, but you can't blame them.
Yeah,
you almost can't blame them, even though I do hate that attitude.
If we don't win the next two, we're going to be playing in front of 40,000 people.
I know it's rough, man, but hey, what can you do? We'll be back in Faurot Field as always. And you know what? We'll be back on Locked On Mizzou as well. So you know what? For Blake, I'm John. And yes, this has been Locked On Mizzou.